Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TaylorMade, the show where you ask the questions and you get your answers. TaylorMade by Hamline University head football coach Chip Taylor. In this month's episode, the coach provides some team updates for us. He tells us what's going on recruiting. And the coach talks about maintaining family ties when you have to work so many hours. So let's join TaylorMade.
Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor this month. Coach, do you have team updates you'd like to provide for us?
As far as the team right now, everything is good. You know, guys are working hard in the off season. You know, the focus has kind of shifted. You know, it's not football now. It's time to, you know, get yourselves mentally ready for the grind that's going to come here. So, I mean, you kind of put the football down and, you know, you're lifting weights and you're moving agility-wise. So, I mean, it's good. Off season has really been very pleased with how our guys are working and how the team is coming, how the team is gelling together. And, you know, guys are just putting in the work right now. Heads are down and focused. So, it's good.
Before heading into fan questions, I first wanted to ask, I know spring practice is coming up soon, so what do you look for in players and what are you looking to accomplish at this time?
You know, really spring is really a time where you really want to kind of set the depth chart for the fall. You know, you want to, you know, looking for guys to compete, you know, you're reteaching your schemes. If you're going to tweak anything, that's the time you want to tweak it because the bulk of your team is here now. You know, the guys that are on our campus in our lifting program, those for the most part, our guys are going to be playing for us on Saturdays in the fall. So, you know, you want to really set the depth chart. And not to say that the depth chart won't change in the fall, but, I mean, now guys are jockeying for positions and, you know, like I said, picking up any new schemes and, you know, and really trying to gel as a football program. So, it's good.
Do you have an update on recruiting for fans?
As far as fans, you know, due to NCAA rules, you can't really get too specific. I wish we could. Our class is coming together very, very, very nice. We're way ahead of where we're at last year at this point, which is good. It's a good benchmark to kind of look back and see, well, this is what we were doing last year on, you know, 3/15/17. But what are we doing? Where are we at 3/15/18? You know, I like where we're at. We got some big people in this class and some people from all over the country, man. Colorado's represented in this class. Arizona's represented in this class. You know, Florida and Georgia are represented in this class. And, of course, you know, Wisconsin and Minnesota are represented. So we feel really good about where we're at, and we just got to continue to keep grinding, and we still got a long way to go, but I like where we're at right now.
Well, let's head to fan questions. We have a couple from John. The first one is it hard to motivate players to stay in the weight room and keep up their training when the start of this next season seems so far away?
Is it hard to motivate players to stay into the weight room? Our guys have been doing a good job of getting to the weight room. You know, culture has definitely changed here, and those guys understand that, you know, in order to, you know, have an opportunity to have success in the fall, you know, they have to be in the weight room. So they're doing a good job with that.
John would also like to know if you want your players involved in other sports when they're not playing football.
You know what, you know, at the middle school level and at the high school level, I think it's important to play all three different sports if you can. You know, most times you see football, basketball, and track guys or baseball guys. When you get to the college level, the amount of time it takes to be really good at one of those sports is really tough. So, you know, it's tough to do both in college. We do have a few track football guys here, but that's about as far as we'll go. So, you know, if we got a guy that can go help score some points in over with track, you know, we don't have any issues with that. So it's good.
Miles would like to know, he says, what is the ultimate goal you look for in terms of numbers of players? I ask because don't like St. Thomas and St. John's have like 200 players each. Is that a number you were shooting for yourself?
As far as ultimate goal, as far as players-wise, I mean, you know, my biggest thing philosophy-wise as a coach is you really want to have the best experience for the team, all right? So what does that mean, you know? I think it's tough to have a really good experience, you know, if it's 20 running backs on the team and maybe one gets to play or two gets to play. I don't know how 18, 19, and the 20th running back are having a good experience. So we don't necessarily set a number, you know, but we do keep an eye on that, and we want to make sure that we do have a good experience for everybody here. And obviously, you know, winning is the most important thing, but, you know, we're just not, you know, we're not built for, you know, super large numbers like that. And, you know, and that's the kind of school I'm from, you know, where back when I played, it was about 110 on the team. And, you know, that seems about suitable. So, you know, I don't know what the other schools are, you know, for facts, what those guys are doing, whatever they're doing, they do a good job of it because they've been winning this league for a while, but, you know, we're just not built that way. And, you know, I really try to keep an eye on numbers at certain positions because, you know, you want to get good players at certain positions that can compete, but you want to make sure that, you know, everybody has an opportunity to compete too. So,
is it less about the total number of players and more about, like, the number of depth you have at each position?
Yeah, we're looking a little bit more at the depth at each position. Depth is for us. again, I can't speak for other programs. I'm not in those programs, but for us, you know, we're looking at depth at the different positions. Absolutely.
Craig would like to know, he says, I've heard you talking about going to different areas for recruiting. What does that mean exactly? Do you have players you are going to see, or do you go to high schools?
It's a little bit of both. You know, so you start by going out to the high schools and, you know, obviously identifying them on film first, and you'll go out to the high schools and see them, or you might have saw them at a camp and you want to follow up with them. So it's a bunch of different ways that the recruiting process works. The usual timeline is you see a kid at camp, then you'll get them on campus, then you'll go see the kid at the high school, and then you progress from there. So
Donna would like to know if you think that the way you recruit as a coach has changed since your first year you were the head coach.
Absolutely. You know, I'm a big believer if you do the same thing, you get the same results. So, you know, you got to always kind of tweak it in recruiting. You got to be, you know, you have to stay aggressive in recruiting. So, I mean, probably glad to say the thing that's changed with us and going into year three is you're just more aggressive with recruiting, you know, starting the recruiting cycle earlier. And just, you know, the contact that we have with our guys is very, very, very often. So
James would like to know, he says, it seems that lots of players lead with their helmets when they tackle. What is the proper technique so you are not approaching a player like that?
Yeah, you know, biggest thing that we talk about a lot is, you know, you got to see what you hit. You know, if you can see what you hit, you know, that's critical. You know, when you start dipping your head and you're looking at the ground, that's when the problems come in. So big coaching point that we talk about is, you know, you need to see what you hit.
Chris would like to know, when do you think is a good age for a child to start playing football?
That's a good question. You know, I think for me personally, you know, I think anywhere in that 6th, 7th, 8th grade is not a bad area. You know, again, I'm biased because, I mean, I started playing at 6 years old back in Philadelphia, my first Pop Warner, Ivy Hill Pop Warner League. We were 6 years old, but, I mean, again, I had good coaches and I had a good experience. You know, it just, and I think a lot of it, you know, a lot of it comes down to who's coaching these kids. You know, if you can get a good Pop Warner coach that's coaching the 8-year-olds, 9- and 10-year-olds, I think you could start at that level. But I think the coaching just gets watered down when you start getting to the younger level. So, you know, maybe you hope and pray you can get a good coach at the 6th, 7th, 8th grade level. So that's why I say that number. But it's all about the coaching and how you teach and tackling.
We welcome back Andre, who says, Coach, what a great victory that was for the Eagles. Come on now, give us Fly Eagles Fly song.
Andre, I'm not going to sing the whole Fly Eagles Fly song, but I will give you an E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles, the Eagle.
Mike would like to know, how did you and your family celebrate the big victory?
Oh, just a lot of smiles and just, you know, sighing and just a relief because, man, if they wouldn't have won that game, man, it would have been really bad, man. I mean, the city would have been just, you know, that's a big time. And it's very similar to Minneapolis. As far as a very, very, very cool sports city. Minneapolis is a very cool sports town / city, man. Philly's the same way, man. Just, you know, everything is heightened out there, man. So with all four sports, man, they want championships everywhere. So, you know, it was huge for the city. And hopefully the Minneapolis can bring one home next year. Be good.
Brad would like to know if you would trade Nick Foles or you would keep him.
I would absolutely keep Nick Foles, 100%. I wouldn't change that dynamic at all.
Chuck asks, how do you think Kirk Cousins will fare in Minnesota?
Wow. You know, I'm not educated enough to answer that one because I don't know, you know, how he's going to get – who's going to be coaching him, how he's going to get coached, how does he fit in, what pieces are around him. So that's a tough question, and we're all going to have to kind of watch that one together as that unfolds. It'll be interesting, though.
Marcus has a couple of NCAA questions for you. He starts with, give us your final four.
Ooh. Being that I'm an NCAA coach, I cannot do a bracket – so I haven't studied it too much, so I'm going to go off the top of my head here. I always go with the Philly team, so I'm going to go with Nova. I'm doing this off the top of the head here. So Nova, let's see, maybe Carolina, North Carolina. I'd probably say no. Yeah, yep, Nova, Carolina. I'd go Duke. And, gosh, I can't think of another team here that might be up in the top there. Nova, Duke, Carolina. Maybe Virginia or no, Arizona. I'll go Arizona. There you go.
Marcus would also like to know, who do you see as a big Cinderella in the tournament?
Oh, well, you know, you kind of always, you know, when you go through the coaching profession, you always kind of stick true to some spots that you've coached at, man. So whenever teams are in the NCAA tournament that you worked at a place and you got to pull for them. So I will have some Bucknell stuff on tomorrow and pulling for those guys. Maybe good for them to to make it into the round of 16. That would be really cool for that place, man. So
Andre returns with a NBA question. He'd like to know, who do you see as the biggest threats in the Eastern Conference now?
Man, I don't know. It's tough for me to go against LeBron James, man. I know things aren't really going well, but you know, once the playoff time comes, I hate to say it, you know, but again, that's a mature professional, man. I think he's gonna be able to flip the switch, and it's gonna be tough to get past Cleveland in the East. I really do. Boston's gonna be tough too, but it's tough to go against LeBron James.
Cassandra would like to know, I'm sure that you put in lots of long hours as a coach. How do you stay involved in the lives of your family when you have to spend so much time in your job?
You know, that's a really good question, man. It's a certain level of balance that comes with it. You know, just got to try to find times. You know, once we get done with the 2018 class, we jump right into the 2019 class. But you do got to take a little bit of a breath, pause, and, you know, spend time with family and spend time for yourself, too. So, you know, it's just prioritizing what's important. You know, summertime comes and you're right in the camp season, but you know, you got to look at the schedule and say, you know what, I'm not doing this camp right now. I got to spend time with family. So that's a really good question. It's probably one of the best questions I've heard since I've been doing this. You know, you got to just take time and find time, because this job, there's 365 days. If you can make it easily 365 and work all the time, but you can't do it. You got to put it down sometimes, and you do got to spend time with family and friends. So
I would gather when you take a head coaching position, your family kind of takes that position too.
Yeah, they understand, man. They understand it. So, you know, and it's crazy, man. You spend, you know, during the season, you know, you'll spend more time with your players than you do with your own family. So family is an important piece, you know, to coaching, not just head coaching, assistant coaches too. I mean, it's an important piece to it, because family's got to understand, and they're almost married to the team as well. You know, so it's an interesting way to make a living, but it's a great way to make a living, and the families have really got to be, you know, bought into it and understand, you know, what it really is and what we're trying to, our big goal of trying to get accomplished too. So
Dan has our next question, which I'm really interested to hear your response. He says, I really like this girl and want to ask her out, but I'm kind of an embellisher, if you know what I mean. Isn't it okay to pump yourself up so that she will be more impressed?
Oh, I think if you pump yourself up, there's nothing too wrong with that. You know, you just got to be ready for, you know, if you do stay with this girl, you gotta realize that at some point she's gonna see the real you. So you gotta be okay with who the real you is. You know, so I wouldn't embellish too much.
And let's close out with why it's great to be a Fighting Piper.
You know what? You know, our guys have been doing a great job in the off season. So you know, spring break is coming up, and you know, I'm excited to see how our mid-grade class checks comes back, and you know, I'm excited to see how that goes, and I'm excited for our guys to get away from us for a little bit, man. It's good to be a Piper right now, because those guys can go be college, you know, college kids and go on spring break and have a good, safe time. So good.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us this month, Coach.
Definitely.
We want to thank Coach Taylor for joining us on TaylorMade this month. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Hamlin coach, please send them to us at ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. That's ChipTaylor@MinorLeagueSportsSupport.com. Please have your questions to us by the first Wednesday of each month, so we can give the coach a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on TaylorMade.